Hey, Warners, this is your warning that the following episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About went rogue from the beginning. You know, one of those episodes where we started the show before we started the show. So put on your big girl panties and buckle up for the ride with Rachel Pitts, Keith Walters, and yours truly, Gina Tremarco.
I just pulled the trigger on beginning to record the audio version of my book and did the intro just to try it. It's a lot harder than it seems, because if you mess up, then you gotta either A, go back and edit it, or B, start over. So that was a good learning of just like, oh.
This came up, Keith, by the way, on our little trip to Lauderdale when Rachel's like, I can't believe you didn't read my book. I'm like, I don't read. I listen. I'm like, if you would record it, I would listen.
I am currently recording it. That's why I said just JFDI and pull the trigger and do it. And then just had a conversation with Donnie, whatever the heck his name is. I can't pronounce it here. Donnie?
Bovine, whatever.
Whatever. He said, well, you should release it as a podcast, like chapter by chapter. And I was like, ooh, that's not bad.
He's always trying to one-up me. That's the problem. No, just kidding.
I think I might do both.
Yeah, you should.
Okay, so I wasn't able to watch the little the video on Facebook. What did you guys do in Fort Lauderdale that got you put in jail?
We didn't go to jail.
We almost went to jail.
We did not almost. We could have gone to jail.
Thank goodness one of us was calm after three glasses of wine.
I go. The one that drank three glasses of wine was the one that was reasonable. The sober girl was ready to cut a bitch.
Whip it.
So we, Gina, part of our girls' weekend was two gift certificates to one of these fabulous Brazilian steakhouse type joints. All you can eat, like meat.
All you can eat meat.
Yes. We got to select our selections of meat. And
really good meat. Some of it was spicy. Some of it was tough.
Did they bring it out on a tray?
Some of it was soft.
They bring it out on a stick.
It's meat and a slice. Served by men wearing gauchos.
And they all have accents. So you're like, oh, yes, I would like
your
meat.
Yes, I would like some more meat.
Your meat is
very tender. I don't like tender meat.
Please, let me have some more. So we actually had a really, really nice time. But rewind to when we arrived and we had made a reservation. Mm-hmm. And Gina walks up and says, you know, her name. And they're like, oh, okay, well, you can wait in the bar. And she's like, well, I have a reservation. She's like, oh, well, a reservation just, it means that you get seated eventually. And here all the, she turned the thing around to show Gina, all these people are in front of you, and like we'll come get you when it's time. Literally the entire bar.
Yeah.
And so Gina's like, well, what's the point of the reservation again? And so,
to guarantee you'll get a seat. I'm like, so then we really didn't need a reservation. And then I had a flashback, if you ever saw this, the Jerry Seinfeld. I use this in customer service
training. Soup Nazi?
No, but when he's at the car rental place, and there's a whole like bunch of different customer service clips from movies and TV, and that's one of them where he's like picking up his car, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're sorry, we don't have your car. He's like, but I made a reservation. Yeah, but it's not here. He's like, so you know how to take a reservation, but you don't know how to hold a reservation. Can I see your manager, please? And like, that's exactly what was happening to us. I was like, can I see your manager, please?
Oh, but we didn't get the manager for the reservation. No. We just had a little bit of attitude and went to the bar where we had a nice drink and then we had a nice dinner. All the meat.
You can eat.
You can eat. And then at the end, and they brought us a free dessert because they thought we were so great. We were so much fun.
They
and
thought
we were
so
adorable.
Hot.
Yeah, I put on my hot dress. I forget even what it was wearing.
We were both in dresses, showing our boobs.
Right.
I mean, I was showing my boobs.
Well, I was showing as much as I had.
You're showing your ass.
And then Gina puts the two gift cards in the book. Now, mind you, the envelope that Gina received at the silent auction said, you cannot use it on Friday. You cannot use it on Saturday. So the only days we were in town were Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we're like, we'll use it on Sunday. and she gives it to the waitress, and the waitress brings it back and goes, I'm sorry, but you cannot use it on this day. It is a holiday. On the back of the card in the fine print, it says not on holidays.
No holidays. So Blondie.
I'm pretty sure I said, can you send over the manager? So she's like, okay. So then while she's away, I'm looking up on my phone national holidays because I'm like, you know, is Father's Day a national holiday or is it like an opinion holiday? So it's not a national holiday.
We're not fathers. And we had no children.
There's no fathers here. I was like,
we don't have penises. We're not fathers.
Turning my ring around. So the manager comes over and
she's like 12.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, I can't. It's a holiday. And I was like,
oh, this is where it gets good. If these were men, we would call it a cockfight.
I know. I said, and Gina is between, the manager was wise enough to go on Gina's side of the table. And I said, well, Father's Day is not a holiday. It's not a national holiday. And she's like, yes, it is. And she pulls out her iPhone. And because it's like shows up as a holiday in her iPhone, she's like, it's a holiday. It's here. You see it. I was like, an iPhone calendar does not make it a national holiday. Would you like me to pull out the national holiday?
Wait
list
a second.
That I have on
wait, wait,
iPhone?
Wait. They both start pulling out their phones like they're guns, and they're like, they're showing each other their phones, and the phones are coming together, and it's like, no, look, it's a holiday, and no, it's not a holiday. Yes, it is a holiday, and they're doing this phone thing. I was like, oh my God, stop.
And then she says, you have to be nice to me because I was going to give you one of the two. I don't know, I'm not supposed to, but if you have an attitude with me, I'm not giving you anything.
And I was like, okay, that's good. We'll take that. We'll take
and
that.
And then I just went,
thank you.
And I just put my credit card in the thing and I'm like, thank you very much.
She's like, no, wait, wait, it got better. It got better because she's like, you know, you're going to have an attitude. I'm not going to do nothing about it. All right. Okay, so don't have an attitude with me. You know why? Because we have been here all day today. All right, we have been here all day, and we do not deserve this from you. Okay,
that's right. I forgot about that part because that's the part that pissed me off the most. Because I was like, I don't care how long you've been here at your job. That's not your job is to be the manager. So she.
So I'm like, okay, which is funny in itself because I'm usually, well, I mean, we have on the culture index, we have the same personalities, so this makes sense. But what I've learned about having the same personalities, which by the way, I want to do an episode on that. What I've learned is someone has to like default, someone has to be back off because the two of us together could cut some bitches and go to jail. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to back off on this and try to diffuse because of my customer service training experience of diffusing and moving people out of the scenario. I'm like, that's great. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Okay. And did they come back with the new check and we get the new check and Rachel's like, I'm not done talking to the manager. Send her back. I was like, no, that's okay. We're good. We're good here. You know what? That's all right. Like, poor servers like in the middle. All these servers are stuck in the middle of it. I'm like, no, we'll talk to her on the way out. It's okay. Thank you so much. And then Rachel's like, I'm not tipping. Well, it appears that there's an 18% gratuity already added on because they anticipated that.
Did you scratch it off?
No.
No, I just left it.
It's not the server's fault. And then I just turn around.
Well.
You're right.
I turn around to the table next to us and I said, hey, you guys live here because we don't. They're like, yeah. I was like this big family for Father's Day. I'm like, listen, we have this gift card. We can't use it. We're never going to use it. We're never going to be back here because we don't live here. I would like to donate that to you. Happy Father's Day. But you can't use it today. But if you want to come back, here you go.
Yeah, they only let us use one out of two. So here you go.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Let's take a commercial break because the episode has started. And this episode is about customer service. Welcome to the Women Your Mother Warned You About. Everybody, I'm Gina Tremarco with Carolina Improv and Pivot 10 Results, bringing you this introduction in the middle of the show because this is how we roll. We start doing a show before we're doing a show. On to you, Rachel, and then send it off to Keith.
I'm Rachel Pitts, a realtor with Beach Realty Group, a mom, and you can find me at rachelonrealestate.com or
the closing curve. And on to Keith, the man with the plan.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
Hi, Keith.
Hi.
Do you notice how we turn into docile little kittens?
We do that on purpose. On Father's Day, I texted him like, happy birthday, daddy.
It's not our birthday. It wasn't his birthday.
She actually texted happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, daddy. Happy
Father's Day. That was so sweet.
Just anyway, so we were talking about this, our customer service experience at this Brazilian steak restaurant, we'll leave nameless, in Fort Lauderdale. And you started to say what, Rachel?
Then we proceeded towards the exit, and I spied with my little eye the manager coming out of the bar area. And I was like, yes.
The poor thing. She was hiding, and then she saw us.
She saw us, and then she couldn't, you know, just walk away. Well, I think that the only thing I said to her afterwards was, we're not trying to be assholes here, but we're just trying to, you know, we got these gift cards, and this is our only days that we're allowed to use it, so I don't see why we can't, and that's it. And you were like, be turned into Miss Professional and got all the information.
It was like the Spanish Inquisition. I'm like, and she wouldn't look at Rachel. She would not make eye contact. No. And I said, so I am just curious. Does your company perform customer service training? And she's like, yes. And I said, is it internal or do they bring anybody from the outside? It's internal. Okay. It's very eternal. And I'm like, okay. She's like, it's not my fault, okay? I could get in trouble for doing it because everybody is asking to use these today and it's a holiday and I cannot give it to everybody and I'm going to get in trouble if I give it to you. And that's why I didn't get, like, I can't get in trouble. So at the bottom line is, and this was sort of like my big issue with this that I was going to blog about. By the time this airs, it'll be a blog. If employees are not told what they can and cannot do, if they are not empowered to do these things, they're really reacting from fear. They are following the script. They are following the book. We're not allowed to do it. And I'm not doing it because I'm not going to be that guy who gets in trouble. And they don't have a manager saying, listen, it's not worth the fight with the customer. That gift card, their cost on that meat is like $20.
Oh, they made, I was trying to think back of like how many people were in that place while we were there. There were easily 100 some people in there, and they'd probably turned the tables 5 or 6 times at least on that day. And if everybody's paying $56 a pop, you know, they're making bank. They're doing good.
Go, Keith, go. I feel like Keith wants to say something, and he's like, I am afraid to get in the middle of this. Because we'll keep going, Keith. We will keep talking if you don't chime in.
Well, tell, but let him chime in and then tell him how it resolved so far.
So I saw this guy one time and he had the best response to that situation, which was, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? And the manager, whatever, says, no. It's like, I'm the customer.
Amen.
It's just so awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And the thing is that, again, the employees are terrified to make an independent decision outside of the script they've been given.
Right. And there's other organizations who approach it a different way. Ritz-Carlton.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Has it's either $2,000 or $5,000 yes. that any employee can spend at any time to resolve a customer satisfaction situation.
Right.
Just boom. No questions.
No questions.
I decided to, yeah.
Oh, I forgot one bitchy thing I said to her.
You were bitchy. Stop it.
You forgot this part when I looked at her and I said, are you guys on TripAdvisor? And she said, yes. And I was like, good.
I know. In today's world, the bad review is real powerful.
Only because of the way that the regional manager resolved it with Gina, have I not completely destroyed them with my surgical knife of destruction.
So let me hear more.
So, yes. Yeah, so, yeah, back to your point on Ritz-Carlton. And, you know, I've actually talked about that in different training sessions. And people are like, well, Ritz-Carlton is so expensive. And I said, well, it's all relative, really. It's like, so they're expensive and they've got that $2,000. It may have changed, but it last I checked, it was $2,000.
That sounds right.
That there is at their discretion. But you look at a company like Zappos.com, and I spent 3 days at their culture camp. They have a similar kind of attitude in their culture of do whatever it takes. Those employees know, and they go through 4 weeks of training before they start their jobs. They know that they are empowered to do whatever it takes. Refund, give gift certificates. They can send gifts. There's like an entire station where they can fill out cards and mail cards. They can order flowers and send them to customers. They have been empowered to do so. So that's a big lesson for any company that's not following that. For one, if you want to continue your sales. So I typically would like to say I'm going on TripAdvisor. However, the businesswoman in me saw an opportunity. So I said, are you the general manager? And she said, no. And I said, can I have his information? And do you have a corporate number? So she gave me the general manager's card. She never gave me the corporate number. But here's the rub. So we go back to our hotel, which, by the way, is one of our client hotels. So this is part of my... to kind of do some backstory. I've got a client that has 70 hotels. We were staying at one of their properties. These gift cards that we had came from their annual conference. They do this big silent auction for all the employees, and all the employees kind of like get all these things from their different communities in the Southeast. So I basically got this two-night stay, all these gift cards. But this property we were staying at, we actually paid to stay there because it was our third night. So when I got there, I told the sales director, I said, hey, I'm on property. So she came out to see me and her first words were, how was dinner last night? And I'm like, well, let me tell you what happened. And I tell her the story and she gets really upset. And she said, you know, this really upsets me because they're one of our partners. We work with them. We send a lot of our clients there. And now I'm really concerned if I should ever send any more business there. So this is how these things trickle down from a customer service perspective. We never needed to get on TripAdvisor because all it took was for me to go tell that hotel that's a partner. So she was upset and she said, you know what? I have the regional manager's phone number. Let's call him. So she called him. She got on the phone with him. She said, I'm going to give you an overview of what happened and I'm going to pass the phone to Gina, who is one of our trainers for our company. So I got on the phone with him and I told him what happened. I said, listen, I don't want to be that person that goes on TripAdvisor and I thought you'd like some feedback. And I gave him the feedback and he was very appreciative and apologized. He did all the right things because he's at a level of management where he knows how to do all the right things. Said, send me a copy of the receipt. I'll get those charges reversed. And of course I'm like, hey, I'll give you a call next week. Maybe we could talk about some customer service training for all of your properties. So for me, I'm like, you know what? I want to develop a relationship and show them an opportunity that they're missing out on. But the higher you get up in management, they're not seeing what's happening at the ground level. They don't see it until shit blows up or they read it on TripAdvisor.
Yeah, and that's not where they want to read it. I would love, it would be super interesting if it comes full circle and you get to do some customer service training. Because restaurants, you know, that's so typical though. Like you get a hostess that just is kind of like, and they aren't, you know.
She's making $10 an hour.
Yeah, exactly. And it really can make a huge difference, even just a little bit of training for staff. In the simplest situations.
It's kind of like what I've always said to my staff. I'm like, the customers don't care that you're tired, that this is your second job, that you failed a class, that your hamster died, that they don't care. And so therefore you don't need to tell them because all that's going to do, here are the things you, oh, that was the other part I left out. Every time she said, I can't do that. I can't do that. I kept saying, tell me what you can do. tell me what you can do. I just kept repeating, tell me what you can do. And I'm like,
while she's pinching my leg,
say, while like, I'm kicking Rachel. Rachel under the table, like, shut the fuck up. Do not speak. Back to you, nice manager. Tell me what you can do. And I had to have to keep repeating that because all they're trained to say is what they can't do.
And honestly, to my psychopathic credit, like if she had come to the table and said, ladies, I hope you understand because it's a holiday, I can only give you one of these two. That's all I really can do for you. And I apologize so much. And please understand that it's just you didn't see it in the fine print. If she had approached it kind of like that, then that would have been good. Now, maybe if I had approached it not like a bitch, maybe she would have been able to. But still, the way that, you know, as a manager, I think that's part of the training is to be prepared for people to be pissed sometimes. And how can you resolve it? How can you understand that it's not, you know, how can a manager understand that it's not really their fault? It's just a person's upset. And how, what can I do for this person to let them walk out of here happy? You know? And sometimes that involves listening to somebody bitch for a while and not reacting to make with gasoline, you know, on the fire. Because I was like, I can do whatever I want. What if I'm drunk? Like, then how are you going to deal with me? Like, because that happens, you know?
That's when they call the popo.
I'm not condoning my terrible behavior. And that was after I ate, too. So I don't even know.
Well, here, you know, here's the reality to it. Your quote, terrible behavior, unquote, is behavior that happens all the time with customers who are unhappy. For whatever reason, that behavior happens. And so you do have to equip your staff with the tools for how do I deal with the cray-cray gringa girl who's going off on me? Like, they need those skills ahead of time. And they need to have in their pocket, what's everything that I can do in the can scenario, like what can you do? Like have a list of things you can do. You know it's a holiday, right? We had a 7 o'clock reservation. We weren't seated until 8 o'clock. You know it's a holiday. Chances are, this is my operations side coming out. Chances are people are going to show up with gift cards that are promotional gift cards, which the regional guy explained to me, which I understand as well, because at Carolina Improv we donate tickets all the time, and those certificates have very specific instructions on them for blackout dates. Like, you can't use them in the summer if they were donated. Now, if someone purchased them, that's a different story. But these are the things that they're not equipped with, like, knowing what to do.
So from a generalized standpoint, Gina, how about give people a couple of tips dealing with angry customers that maybe are not linked to that specific thing, but, like, what are one or two tips on how can you best deal with somebody that's upset and then get them to at least calm down and move, find out what will make them happy.
There's a couple things. So in that situation that we were in, where we're actually in a brick and mortar retail kind of location where there are people around you, because there were people around us seeing it, hearing it, witnessing it, you getting all like, you know who I am. In that scenario, that's why I kept kicking you under the table, to diffuse it in that kind of scenario, physically, you want to move that customer out of the space somehow. Now, physically move them, but this things that we used to do at IMAX, we would literally go, hey, you know, let's talk about this over here. And we would direct them away and direct them out of the space so that they weren't creating tension and confrontation in this public arena. Because what happens is people start watching, people get uncomfortable, people start videotaping, and people start putting it on social media. So you want to move them out of the space. The other thing in that scenario is to change your whole tone. So don't be cray-cray person. Instead, be the calm person. Be like, hey, lower your voice. Get quiet. Don't elevate. Don't say things like, I'm tired. We've been here all day. The customer doesn't care. So like, you want to lower your voice so you're not matching their voice, because humans will naturally mirror. So the more you keep that calm, low voice and you don't break and you just keep doing it no matter how crazy they are, it's like a crying baby. Eventually the baby's going to stop crying because they're not getting their way. And the other person is staying consistently quiet and calm. Now, maybe in another situation over the phone, similarly, you can't physically walk them away, but you can stay calm. You can keep your voice calm. You can make it all about them. You can spend more time listening than talking. Let them do all of the talking before you speak. I've done this a lot where the customer's screaming. I let them do all the talking. And these were in retail situations. And then once they've cried it out like a baby, they're like, well, and then I start talking. I let them get it out of their system. And then I start talking. So it's letting them get out of their system, making it about them, and then telling them what you can do for them. And those tiny little things can go a far way, because I've had a number of customers say to me, thank you so much. Because I've literally said, you know, what can I do for you? I just needed you to listen to me. I know you can't do anything, but thank you for listening. Bye. And that was it. So you might not have to do anything from a recovery standpoint other than to listen. Keith, any thoughts, Keith? Keith, once again, Keith is the quiet, thoughtful guy thinking, should I speak?
Oh, I've got so much to say. There's so much negative impact from that confrontation on the business, on other customers, on the image of the business, that it has this huge impact from a viral perspective that you mentioned. It could just be so costly. And, you know, one of the things that I think the employees need to be trained on as well is, it's not just the cost of the transaction, it's the cost of the customer. You know, because a customer has a lifetime value.
Yep.
That is not a single transaction value.
Correct.
And, you know, this is why the Net Promoter Score has gotten so popular lately, because it's about the experience. The other thing that kind of raises in my mind in your particular situation is more of an organizational question. I start asking questions to myself, why was this person in a manager role? She's, you know, apparently there may not be high barriers to get into a manager role. She doesn't sound like she's qualified to be in a manager role. So who is her manager? And I actually have a problem with her manager.
Well, yeah. Who's her manager? Where was he on that busy day?
Yeah. And why did he promote her?
Or why did she promote her?
Ooh, that's what Rachel said.
Actually, the general manager is a guy.
I was just throwing that in there.
No, that's good. That's good. That's a good point.
But it's definitely true. And I think it goes back to what Gina said a little earlier, is that, you know, she's probably being paid a pittance as well, like not very high wage. But even still, I don't believe that it takes that much effort to do a small amount of training so that these people know what to say, what to do, how they can pass it along to someone more qualified to handle the situation. You know, from a viral standpoint too, just what Keith said a little while ago is, what if we had stood outside of that restaurant and like recorded a video live right then and been like, this is what just happened, y'all. You know, like,
well, we did go back to the room and do a video.
We didn't ever say the name of the restaurant though.
True. Yeah.
You know, lesser people than us probably, if they have bad experiences, they do. And it's like what you said, Keith, it can be very destructive.
Yeah, you could have gone to the restaurant and say, we won't say your name if you become a sponsor.
I don't think that girl was in the position to decide on sponsorship at that point.
Yeah.
They still could become a sponsor when Gina becomes their trainer.
Hey, you know, I reached out to him today just to confirm the refund, which he did send me a picture to show the credit going back. So the next message he will get from me is a conversation about having a meeting about training. Seize the opportunity. Carpe the meat.
It's all about the meat.
It's all about the meat. Meat's what keeps baby happy. Baby's got to eat. Baby's got to eat some meat.
Keith, I'm sure that you had some other
brilliant points. He can't think of
I'm sure right I now. Did.
But they're gone now. Well, it does make a difference. Like, example, going back to what Gina was saying about Zappos, and we can mention their name because, honestly, I have never had anything but the most amazing customer service experiences with Zappos, and that is because that's their business model. They pride themselves on great customer service to the point that it's delightful and surprising. And if companies could take that standpoint, then they would have, I'm like a raving fan of Zappos. And if I'm ever buying shoes, I look there first. And you can create raving fans by good customer service. And you can also create, you know, a beast like myself that would never, ever want to ever go eat at that place ever again, no matter where it's located.
Well, take that even a step further. Does that, what happened, does that also impact competitors? Meaning, oh, a Brazilian meat place. Never going to a Brazilian meat place again. They're not the only Brazilian meat brand out there.
Right. But even if you, like, I think that the regional director has done a good job of trying to calm the beast. Mm-hmm. And that's great. But it's still, you know, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth, literally.
Literally.
And do I have a bad taste in my mouth for all the places? No, not necessarily.
Right. But if you've never experienced that type of restaurant or that right. type of service right. or that type of product, and you yep, might be a more ignorant, and I don't mean that in a bad way, if you're not familiar with a certain type of product or service, it leaves such a bad taste in your mouth. Will you ever want to use that type of product or service again? Because you just create this connection of like, well, that happened there. Does that happen to all places like that? Just a thought. I mean, because in you know, customers and clients, we're all finicky people, and a lot of our reactions are based on the shit that we're dragging with us from other things that happened in our childhood or personal lives or whatever, or what happened in the day. That was one thing I always tried to train my employees on, my frontline employees, especially in the IMAX world. I would tell them, listen, this is the scenario. Because we would get some really nasty customers. They would be angry because the movie, we were sold out, right? And they would literally get angry and say, how could you be sold out? How dare you? I want you to pay for my hotel room because we drove all the way here from Charlotte to see Batman on the IMAX screen, and now it's sold out, and we want our money back, and we want our hotel room paid and our babysitting fees paid. And I literally have received dry cleaning bills. Like ridiculous shit from people because everyone's entitled and they're all worked up. And I've literally had to say to my employees, listen, this is what you're going to get. They drove 12 hours from New York to come on vacation to Myrtle Beach with their kids. And they were excited. And they left Friday night at 8:00 and they drove through the night and they got here. And the kids were screaming and the husband got lost and he wouldn't get directions and the mother was bitching and they got there and the hotel room wasn't ready because there's never enough people to clean the fucking rooms. And so now the mother is screaming at the hotel front desk person who said, here's a coupon for breakfast. And she's like, I don't want fucking breakfast. Well, you can go to the pool and wait for your room. And they do that. And they finally get checked in at 6:00. And then they're like, we're going to the IMAX movie. And it's sold out. By the time they get to you, IMAX employee, they are miserable. And you just need to recognize it's not about you. They're miserable. Don't let it affect you. Tell them what you can do and move on. True story.
Should we ban family vacations? Is that the point?
Some people would feel that way in Myrtle Beach. The reality is that we're humans, and humans are, if you have to deal with humans in any scenario, it's a challenge because we bring baggage with us.
So when you guys were at this restaurant and you were at the bar eating, yeah. It sounded like you had good connection with the staff there. Okay.
No, but Gina had alcohol, so, and we were having a good conversation. No, honestly, our table was ready and I was ready to pay the bill, I was like searching around for, I had put the bill on the bar with, you know, obviously the money sticking out. It was a big bill. And
about, there was like five people working at the bar because it was full of people with reservations.
That was amazing. And how many bartenders were behind that bar that was like a 10-seat bar.
You missed it, though. I was watching how long it took. None of them was going to cash me out because I wanted change until finally our waitress who had been, or our bartendress, she was in the back folding napkins or something, and she finally came out and I was like, do you mind giving me change? And she kind of went, mm-hmm. And then she gave me change, and it was, so we did not have great connection there either. But I mean, we both were drinking. I had a San Pellegrino. That's not $0.
Yeah, I was drinking wine. And then I was trying to maintain my irritation, which is a whole nother story. I didn't say anything because I didn't want to offend a mother that I was sitting with. But I'm like, really, why are these children sitting at the bar? I always feel that way. I'm like, could you please save the bar chairs for adults drinking alcohol? No offense. That was slightly irritating me that the guy next to me wouldn't really move because his child had to sit in the stool. That's a whole nother story. That's a personal issue. Mm. But that affected my experience.
I'm a mom, and I still would not put my child at a bar stool.
I didn't want personally. To say anything because
it's not appropriate.
Yeah, I was feeling bitchy about it. I'm like,
I agree with you, though. I wouldn't, because I personally don't want her to get too comfortable with that seat.
Right. Why is the child bellied up to the bar? I'm sorry.
Well, and the reason is that their reservations were not being honored. And there was, the whole place was packed full of
people. I get that. And again, speaking as a non-mother who's ignorant and doesn't know any better and can say whatever she thinks at this moment, do you not carry like a bag of snacks or something? Like give that kid like a drinky cup and some pretzels.
A drinky cup.
I mean, well, give him something else.
You don't usually bring snacks when you go to a restaurant when you have a reservation because you're expecting.
Do you
to
not
eat.
Plan ahead for situations that might come up? That's all I'm saying is like,
good moms always. That's have what I, in
you
purse,
should have so. Something in your purse or bag that the child doesn't have to sit at the bar. We're gonna get letters
mom
now.
Tips.
I'm
hashtag mom tips by Gina. Do you carry dog treats for your dogs in your purse?
When I take them out, yes. If we go out in public somewhere where we can take dogs, I've got my poopy bags, like diapers. I've got snacks, and I have like a water bottle and a portable little bowl that I can pull out and pour water into. Bitches, take that. That's what a dog mom does.
Apparently, this organization needs a lot of work. Not this organization, but whatever restaurant you guys were named.
Oh my God.
I'm going to guess that if we went on TripAdvisor and took a peek, we might see other stories similar.
I'll bet that's the case.
We might, but we're going to be good hospitality co-workers and help our partners get better by not blasting them.
Well, as the longer that we have this collective of women your mother warned you about, and as well as Keith's wisdom, is I actually notice stuff like that more. And I think I notice it even more when I'm with you, Gina, because we just notice how people behave in a professional environment. And, you know, if you work in a restaurant or service industry, your customer facing behaviors are on display and under the microscope. And I think sometimes employees don't have that awareness because they don't care. And the way that they can care is for the management to find ways to incentivize them or just build that company culture up so that they do care. They care about how people perceive the entire company as a whole.
Well, that goes back to the very intentional strategy of what your culture is going to be and what the expectations are from an operational standpoint. And I worked in the restaurant business a really long time through high school and college to like pay for college. There are things called pre-shift meetings. And you have a pre-shift meeting and you say, hey, team, this is what's going on today. We've got, it's Father's Day. We've got 400 covers on the books. We're probably going to have people that are going to show up with gift cards or this or this or this. and here's what we need to plan for the day. And here's what, like, if these things happen, this is what you do. If this happens, you know what? If you get like this, you know, crazy women who are yelling at you, you know, you call for a different manager to come over to diffuse it. Like, you prep them going into the day, going into the shift, going into their jobs, whatever your industry is, whether you're customer facing or you might be in a different capacity in a B2B situation. You know, like, there's sometimes we're tech people. Anybody like in a tech kind of world, some of those like engineers and designers, they need some help because they're not, I mean, we're getting actually a lot of requests to Pivot 10 for training in that arena, in that industry, in IT, because it's becoming a bigger issue when internally, we're getting a lot of requests for internal customer service because those IT people are having a hard time having the human skills to connect internally with the people they're servicing. Keith, I feel like you want to speak.
That's happening in a lot of technology companies where managers need to be created in the technology world and they need to come up to the technology ranks. But a lot of those folks, that's not their natural wiring,
right,
to be empathetic or to be, you know, highly, you know, socially receptive.
Mm-hmm.
So high EQ or work on their EQ.
Yeah.
So the whole service thing, you know, reflects not just external customer service, but internal customer service, internal relationships, where you're going to go and grow.
So it happens in all levels of, I think, all levels of management or frontline and all industries. So it's, if you want to continue to grow revenue, you have to service the people that you've spent all that money to bring in.
Yeah, and this is an example of a company, this restaurant you were at, that is maybe successful in spite of themselves.
Yeah.
And they hit a little bump, all those barriers to the customer dollar will get in the way and it'll suffer.
Well, this conversation that started as us having a conversation before recording a show has turned into a show. So,
always.
So it's probably time.
What's your takeaway?
What's my takeaway from this show? I would say that my main takeaway, or the main thing I want to stress to everybody, is that service equals sales. And if you want to continue to drive revenue, it's not just closing the deal. It's continuing to service people and take the customer experience into consideration, no matter what you're doing, and tell them what you can do, not what you can't do. That's my two cents on this.
Yeah, in the realm of the rapid commoditization that goes on in today's business, you know, a lot of folks are having to move from product to service, but from service to experience. And it's high experience organizations that really do well with their customers, high good experience. And so, man, that customer satisfaction piece is so critical in that experience.
Mm-hmm. Rachel?
And playing off of that, never underestimate all of the people that one person knows. Because one small, you know, pissing off one small blonde woman could translate into, you know, the trickle-down effect that we experienced when we spoke with the manager at the hotel, that you actually, when Keith was joking about, don't you know who I am, sometimes you don't actually, and you might be talking to somebody with a really broad reach in a podcast. So... You honestly never really know who you're talking to in a sales situation, and you have to remember that every single person counts because everybody knows a lot of people.
And if I may add to that trickle down effect, you go back to your hotel room, and your friend who does not drink alcohol looks at you and says, "Do you need another drink?" And I say, "Yeah, I do. I'm gonna get one." And you have another drink.
True story.
So, in our new way of doing this as a threesome, it's time to wrap up the show. I don't have a script in front of me. I don't It's time to end the women your mother warned you about this episode going rogue about customer service and sales. I'm Gina Tremarco. You want to know more about me? You can go to GinaTremarco.com and find out everything you need to know there. And you can find everything you need to know about the three of us at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. Rachel, what do you want to add to that?
Yes, and at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com, you can also find some fun, free downloads that will pop up on your screen. You'll see you won't be able to miss it. You can find me all over social media as Rachel on Real Estate, and you can get your free How to Buy a Home guide at theclosingcurve.com.
Oh, and one of our new freebies is How to Start a Podcast. So that's on our website, too. So you can go get that. It's a little workbook. Rachel and I recently did a workshop on how we got started, and so there's a little workbook on that, so you can download that as well. And let's hear from the man behind the microphone who keeps us straight, Keith.
And don't forget to go and give this podcast a 5-star rating, regardless of whether you liked it or not.
No meat for you reviewers.
No. And I'm Keith Walters. You can find me by going to that wonderful website, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com, looking at About, I think is what it is, and you can find a link to my LinkedIn profile.
Awesome. Okay, guys, we got to go. So we're out of here. Bye, Rachel, and it's time for us to go. Bye, Keith.
Bye, Warners.
Bye, Warners.
Bye, ladies.
Bye.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.